welcome to Spokane Public Radio's Listener Call-In Program. Tonight, we're taking an hour on all three SPR stations to share news about some programming changes we're going to make next month. And we'll take your calls about that and other programming questions you have. The number is 1-800-328-5729. That's 1-800-328-5729. Call now if you like. We'll get to the phones in just a few minutes. If you'd prefer to write down your thoughts, you can send comments to kpbx at kpbx.org. We'll give out those names and addresses periodically throughout the hour. Here to take your calls are Spokane Public Radio General Manager Kerry Boyce, the President of the SPR Board of Directors Jeff Fountain, Music Director Vern Windham, and Program Director Doug Nadvornik.
And here we are, all jammed into a studio here and ready to take your calls. Doug Nadvornik here. We're going to hand it off to Kerry Boyce, who's our general manager, and we'll start the discussion and hope you'll join us in the next few minutes. So go ahead, Kerry.
Well, first of all, thank you all for tuning in, and thanks to the many people who came by to our open house tonight. That was really just a pleasure, and it's nice to see so many listeners and people really engage with the station. So I guess we should probably start off with the really big question, what's up with Garrison? So we'll just address that directly. The short answer is we don't really know. We'll talk about Writer's Almanac maybe first and Prairie Home Companion because they really are separate issues. Wednesday
at 10 o'clock. I remember the moment.
Well, we check our program files before they actually air to make sure they're actually there, and we discovered that they had been simply overwritten. So I was about to call Minnesota to say, hey, what's up? Because things happen. You know, files are corrupted or there are misfeeds, misfires. And I checked my email, and there was a very cursory note to say, we overwrote these programs with nothing. It's going to be basically killed henceforth. And that was our first news of any issue. We honestly don't know what's going on. So we are scrambling to figure out what to fill that spot with. People like the literary humanities bent to it. The offerings that have been made are marketplace, tech, and a few other things that don't really quite seem to fit. So one possibility is maybe filling that with something we produce here. We just don't know. We hope that things reach some sort of resolution soon. Maybe we'll come back, but we just don't know. So in terms of a Prairie Home Companion, decisions about that actually preceded all of the Garrison allegations. It had been declining in listenership and support for some time, and it simply became unsustainable because even after Garrison retired, what was that, a year and a half ago, Vern?
Yeah.
Even after he retired, stations across the country, about 15% of the carriage stations, carriage means stations that take the show, about 15% took the opportunity to drop it then. We thought we would wait and see what happened. We expected, many managers like me across the country expected, that what would happen is they would save a lot of money, pass some of those savings on to us. We would take the time to try to rebuild an audience. And in fact, the price went up. And, you know, honestly, I was just simply stricken. And I really do. Many listeners, I've answered, I guess, 40 or 60 emails and calls by now. I've tried to answer everyone, so if my answers seem similar, it's because I'm repeating myself a lot. In any case, we were just shocked and appalled. And honestly, we it's not sustainable. It simply isn't. Now, there is talk that In light of the recent Garrison allegations, they've taken the opportunity, because I think Mr. Keeler actually owns the rights to the title and a few other things. They've changed it to Town Hall. It's gradually becoming a different show anyway. We hope that they may be looking at a real reformatting and to offer maybe an hour of it at a much more reasonable cost. So there is hope that we can bring it back in some form. But honestly, we just don't know a lot at this point. Okay, I'm talking a lot. So,
yeah, well, it was a couple little things that I want to add in on this that I remember the exact moment. I was just about to do an interview at 10 o'clock last Wednesday morning, and we were all sitting there listening to the news, and that's when the news came up on the NPR newscast that you know, Garrison was the latest person to have allegations of sexual impropriety, and then immediately that everything he was involved with was going to be immediately gone, and it was immediately gone. And so that put me in the position of trying to figure out what to do about Writer's Almanac. And what we have done so far is in waiting to see whether the greater system deals with it. And I was curious to see what other people are going to do. Is somebody going to put something in the place? Is Writer's Almanac by that name or a similar name going to come back? At the same time, we've talked about it locally, and I've talked to quite a few poets in the area, and there's an interest. And I think it would be probably easiest to keep the poetry component of it. And even this week, I've been playing some really wonderful recorded poetry, mm-hmm. just so that we have that moment of thoughtfulness. But of course, the brilliance of Writer's Almanac was the whole package, because it had the poem, but the poem was just the frosting on the cake of all of those other interesting things that kind of piqued one's thoughts. And it's always scary if you try to replicate somebody else's poem. Just ask Chris Thiele. Somebody else's program, just ask Chris Thiele. And so do we try to imitate that? Do we try to think of some great way that we move from all of that news and that side of our brains toward the arts, toward the other aspects of living? So we're all grappling with that. And even tonight, we'll certainly appreciate hearing ideas on what you might like to hear as we go from news to our arts programming each morning. So that's kind of my specific take on that side of it.
I should also mention, I forgot to mention, that in the case of A Prairie Home Companion, last year they produced about 25% of the shows, and the rest were all reruns. So old Garrison shows were...
Well, not even Garrison shows.
Not even Garrison shows,
it was just
exactly.
Chris Thiele shows heard four times in one year.
Yeah. So that in itself began to really add to the problem in terms of declining listenership. So
let's throw out the phone number, and then we'll get into what's going to replace A Prairie Home Companion. So it's 1-800-328-5729. That's the reason why we're having this program, is to allow you the chance to talk about your feelings about that or any other programs, questions that you have for Spokane Public Radio, whether it be KPBX or KSFC or KPBZ. So to replace, we're replacing 4 hours of programming on the weekends. And so how are we doing that?
Well, by first differentiating that Saturday and Sunday are two different days, and so we had only added the Garrison repeat during the heydays of Prairie Home Companion, when it was so huge that you know, the listeners were piling on twice. And so what makes me happy about it, and Doug was the one that came up with this, was bringing back a program that we had never carried, except just really in short term occasionally when it was really young and free, and that was the Moth Radio Hour. And we should quickly also make this moment of the passing of the baton, because I've been program director here for something like 15 years or something like that, and I am now the music director, not wanting to carry that responsibility, and the person whose shoulders are broad enough to take it is Doug, who went out and started really searching for what to put in its place.
So the Moth is a great program, and that we all love to hear stories on the radio. radio. And this is a stage show with people telling stories. Mm-hmm. If any of you are familiar with the TED Radio Hour on KSFC on Sunday mornings, it's one of those where, you know, you get up for a little while and it's kind of like the onstage version of This American Life So anyway, that's going to be one of the programs that will air at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, preceded by Livewire, another stage program out of Portland.
Yeah, and Livewire has been with us for a long time. They were talking to me when Livewire was just a funky little local Portland program, and we brought it in various forms many, many years ago in a kind of occasional thing that we did. And then we put it full time on KSFC a few years ago, and then we gave it the not very enviable time of midnight on Saturday night, and it seems that there's a lot of people that don't stay up that late. Some of us used to when we were younger. And so Livewire, which is, again, an interesting and relevant and ever-changing program and very vital, is going to be the 3 o'clock Saturday replacement.
And then let's talk about Sundays, which we've made more of a folk music day.
Because years ago when Dan Marr had a two-hour folk show and that everything fit fine, and then Northwest Public Radio had him add an hour when we could never quite accommodate it, and Dan and I have had a lovely 10-year running jive kind of about us splitting him up into two pieces with a little bit of Dan Marr's Inland Folk in the afternoon and the rest of it in the evening. And so this is the great reuniting of Dan Marr when one is going to get really the brilliance of that gentleman's programming to have 3 hours from 6 until 9 o'clock as the continuous folk block. And I say folk because nobody does folk more broadly than Dan Marr, and with deep understanding of every one aspect of what we call folk music. So that will be a lovely evening from 6 to 9 of that. And then we got our good friend Zan, who has been doing Sound Space, took it over from the late Norval Trost, and she's going to expand it to 2 hours. And what that's going to bring us is a lovely, large body of music, not unlike, frankly, what in some ways Chris Thiele was doing too, that just gets us in touch with a lot of different music forms that are on many, many people's playlist on their iPod.
And then because we're giving up the hour of Dan in the afternoon, we wanted to find another folk program, and there are a few out there that don't cost any money, but one we found from near Cleveland, Ohio, a station near there called Folk Alley, which is a really nice program that has some contemporary folk and a little bit of older stuff too. So it's a program we got for free, and which is always a nice price. But it's all. I think it'll be a nice after Kevin Brown's program, and then Carrot One, and then this will be nice, and that'll lead us into selected shorts, and then we'll have an evening of folk music. So it'll be very nice.
And Dan's also very enthusiastic about Folk Alley. Yeah. He was really pleased to know that we were adding that.
Yeah. So let's go to the phone. We're at about a quarter of the way through the hour. Let's take our first phone call, Carrie.
We have a phone call from Jake, who asks, how much do members have a say in programming? You know, that's a really great question.
Now, are we going to him on line one?
Yeah, let's go ahead and...
Is he there? Let's hope.
Can you dial him up here?
I thought I did.
Hello, are you there?
Yes.
Oh,
hello?
There you go. Good.
Hey,
go ahead.
Oh, sure. Thanks for adjusting to, you know, Garrison and Prairie Home. I'm sure that's on a lot of people's minds. But, you know, and I must say, I'm kind of brokenhearted, but you know, I understand. I am still kind of clinging to some hope that you would maybe do one out, you know, or at least one of the broadcasts, you know, it'll come back. But really, I'm kind of, I guess with that in mind, I was wondering how public radio, maybe SGR in general, takes feedback from members, especially sustaining members, and makes changes to their programming. So, like, and how much do we have a say in, like, maybe, for instance, voting? You know, does it function ever like a co-op, or could it? You know, because you can't exactly take Nielsen ratings just like they do in television on the radio, but is there any sort of, like, movement or kind of formatting such as that?
Want to take that one?
Sure, I can start. First of all, thanks. It's a really great question. The short answer is that members actually have a lot of say in our programming. Science Friday was a case in point where Talk of the Nation went away and that was sold as a package. So when Talk of the Nation ceased production, we also took out Science Friday. And man, did we hear about that. So you can hear it back on our airwaves now.
Well, and when we brought it back, all of a sudden we got 35 calls immediately from bringing it back. And I want to jump in here and say one of our frustrations is that we get so little feedback. You know,
that has changed.
30 years ago, yeah. When we were the only game in town, if we did something that somebody didn't like, then we knew about it. Now people just go to some other source of information. And so feedback is so valuable, and we simply need more ways to get more of it. And no, there's not any really viable voting kind of system. It's been tried with various surveys and things, but there's no simple way for us to really know what you, the population of Spokane Public Radio, loves.
Yeah. Oh, we do get Nielsen ratings, in fact, and mm-hmm. You know, we look at those fairly closely, and it is a bit of a balancing act. So one of the most frequent questions I would get from listeners is, when are you bringing them off? And frankly, it was expensive, and we were already strung out with very expensive programming. And but, you know, it still recurs, when you bring them off. So this was actually an opportunity to bring a program in that listeners really want, and it's very popular. And we try not to make these kinds of decisions, especially profound ones like this. And I agree with you. I like the new show. I like the old show, and I like the new one just fine. What I don't like is
you're
the
talking
price,
about Prairie Home.
Prairie Home, yeah. Right. What I don't like is the price of it for 25% of the content. So I sent this up. There was a big manager's national distribution list, so I sent the question out. And just to hear what other managers are doing, one of the things they are doing is they're bringing in the Moth or Livewire very often in these, you know, to find similar programming that fits kind of a similar vibe, for lack of a better word. We watch the ratings. We watch our listener response. We watch the pledge drive numbers, of course. We watch the underwriting support. And we try to figure out what's the best we can do with what we have. So I hope that answers your question.
So I'll just throw one more thing out. You can, in addition to calling us, by the way, you can email us at kpbx@kpbx.org. Not only today, but you can also do that any other time if you have thoughts. And we've established a listener line. Maybe you've heard it. We used it as a way to get testimonials during the pledge drive. It's 509-232-6904, and you can call that anytime and leave a message. And I guess what we found is that during this, as we sent out a newsletter essentially announcing these changes, we got lots of calls. And so maybe what we need to do is do a little bit more of asking the audience questions about, and maybe that will solicit more of the what we're looking for.
Okay, we have another caller. This is David. See if we can reach him. David, are you there?
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Burlington Northern Santa Fe is a longtime underwriter of Spokane Public Radio and runs underwriter spots on air several times a day on KPBX and KSFC, often in prime time. The issue of rail safety and coal trains and oil trains is a major political and economic issue in Spokane. Can you address that and why listeners should believe in the existence of and the effectiveness of the so-called firewall that NPR and SPR say exists, for example, in deciding whether to do more local coverage of the really significant issues of rail safety and these potentially dangerous trains that run through our community every day?
Sure. Thanks for your phone call, first of all. And it's a very valid question. Not everybody's going to like the answer to that. If NPR, by the way, gets this question very frequently, too. And in a way, it's kind of a reverse answer. So the standard answer, and it's difficult and a bit complicated, is that if we decline underwriting from any valid business that's operating within legal parameters, generally if we refuse that, that is in essence a comment on whatever issue that happens, they happen to be engaged in. And we and NPR try to take a broad array of businesses to ameliorate that so that we don't have to comment. And also, if their underwriting message is within legal FCC parameters, and we have several guidelines that govern this, then we honestly leave it to our listeners to make a determination. We think our listeners are smart enough and clever enough to determine what's real and what isn't for themselves.
Now, I want to say in to David's credit, when Steve Jackson did a story about Prop 2 before the election, we neglected to note during the program, even though the story wasn't necessarily about Burlington Northern specifically, that we should have mentioned that Burlington Northern is an underwriter of Spokane Public Radio, and David reminded us about that. He was absolutely right. And in all the subsequent airings of Steve's program, we made sure and we said that. Now, also going back to every time that we mentioned Proposition 2, there was the question of, well, should we then mention that conflict of interest statement? We chose not to because we didn't feel like in every time that we mentioned Proposition 2 that it was necessarily warranted. But David was right to remind us that we need to in cases where there might be a conflict of interest, at least in folks' minds, that we need to let the audience know about that. So next call.
Okay.
Before we move on. David also mentioned a firewall, and that's worth a bit of discussion. A firewall is basically a separation. We try to maintain a separation between what we broadcast, especially how we cover the news, and how we take our revenue, so that the people who are involved in collecting, assembling, and broadcasting the news, checking facts like that, are not involved in the revenue side of the equation. I may on occasion make a suggestion about, oh, have we thought about this? But I do not dictate how we cover the news. I do not dictate, and that's because I actually have a foot in both worlds. I do listen to the news to make sure that, A, we are as fair and balanced as we can make ourselves, and also to keep ourselves from becoming the news. It's not our role. We should be broadcasting it, adding context, but we should not be, in a sense, making the news. And when NPR becomes a part of the news, I got to say that disturbs me greatly.
All right. So we have line one. We have Tom on line one.
Yeah. Hi. Is this me?
Yes.
I'm line one. Okay. Well, just a couple of issues. And I haven't been listening to the program, so they may have already been covered, for which I apologize. One is a lot of shows are rebroadcasts, and that's fine. But I would really appreciate at the beginning of a show just saying this was originally broadcast, the date of its first and original broadcast, or saying this is a repeat. Anyway, that's one thing I would appreciate.
Okay,
and the other thing is, this is a bigger issue. I think there really is, okay, I think I tend to be at the liberal end of things, but I think there really is some point to the conservative end of the spectrum pointing out that an awful lot of media and universities tend to be on the liberal end of the perspective, and I think that's true of NPR, and it's not a conspiracy or anything. It's it comes out of many sources. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think it would be really excellent for NPR to have a program that had cultivated some high quality, I don't know how one measures such a thing, conservative points of view. And it's sort of like a conservative program. That's sort of its purpose in a way, to cover that perspective a little bit. What do you think of that?
Okay. This is Carrie and the GM, so I can talk a little bit about this. So let's take your second question first about liberal versus conservative viewpoints. I actually get two main complaints. One is that we're too liberal, and the other is that we are too conservative. The other main complaint, two complaints I get, is that we have too much music and that we don't have enough music. So, but personally, I would agree with you that NPR hasn't had a real conservative voice or a commentator for really quite some time. And I think I hope they are looking for that in terms of balance. I think that's a very reasonable request. I would really suggest you contact them directly. They hear from me quite a lot in any case, so they tend to ignore what I say. Well, that's a bit strong. I mean, you know, but my communications are usually have to do with pricing and things like that. So, but they do listen to listeners and they do read these things. Now, I will tell you also that they get millions of these literally, and they tend to be glacial in their responses. But they actually do read them, tallying, and they tally them. So, I'm not sure what else I can tell you. From our standpoint, we try to adhere to the NPR ethics guidelines, and those are certainly worth a read. They're listed at ethics.npr.org. Oh, the other question
regarding rebroadcasts and the dates of rebroadcasts. That's a good possibility. If we know that they're reruns, if they let us know that they're reruns.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Did you want to talk about the other point at all?
We try to do it within our local stuff. We try to, you know, we do a lot of political things. I can remember, talking to state legislators who are Republicans and in our Inland Journal program about forest health issues and about marijuana issues and a lot of things like that. As for a standalone program that had a conservative viewpoint, I remember many years ago, Vern, maybe you remember this, we had David Horowitz, who was a well-known conservative commentator from Los Angeles, who did a program, a half-hour program that we aired in the noon hour on Monday. But those programs were very few and far between, and so it's very – we often will look for something like that because we like to present as many viewpoints as we can. So Tom, we understand what you're trying to say, and we're trying to find those, and when we get them, we try to get them on the air.
Okay, let's go to Kevin from Sprague.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Oh, excellent. Right now?
Right now.
Okay. Again, my name's Kevin, and I've been listening to you guys since 1993. My daughter and I moved up to way up on the Canadian border, and you were the only station besides CBC. And I now live out in the middle of the Scablands with no TV or interweb, and you are my only connection with the world. And my only real question is, I would assume that the folk broadcasting, the folk and bluegrass stuff, you know, Nacho, Celtic, and Dan Mara on the weekends, are played so heavily because they're probably locally produced and reasonably cost. But I only have KPBX. I don't have the opportunity to listen to the other ones. But is there a reason that maybe you couldn't consider, if Prairie Home's no longer in the loop, that there might be something else that we can consider instead of literally 5 hours of bluegrass or Celtic music on Sundays?
Yeah, thank you. It's a good idea because there is that problem that we want diversity and yet we want a certain focus at a certain time too, or focus, sorry. So we have the folk programs we have. We did choose to add one because there would have been a consistency. But it's a good question that we should give as much breadth as we can. You know, by the time you get to Zan's program at night, then it's broadened out quite a bit, and her 2 hours is going to broaden out. So, you know, years ago I made everybody mad by putting a Sunday night symphony on, and that didn't go anywhere. That didn't work at all. That was my biggest, most famous mistake around here. So it's a great question. We need to hear from you what you do and don't want. We assume that folk music, which can't be heard essentially anywhere else, needs a voice. And so we put it as a block. We put it as that continuous thing. But your question leads us to consider maybe doing mixing it up a little. We'll see how this one feels.
Is there anything you'd like to hear, Kevin?
I'm sorry, I already.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Well, so there's a great program that you talked about burying a live wire. Brazilian Hour is also a midnight program. And I've only heard one or two of them, but they're terrific.
Yeah, they
and
are.
So, you know, there are other different genres of music that I think are worth, you know, considering. And you can let us know about that at 232-6904. We'll pimp that phone number again. But it's a great way for you to say, you know, I'd love to be able to hear, you know, more of this genre of music or that genre of music. So take advantage of that opportunity. Okay, Luke is the next person on the line, line three there. Hi, Luke.
Hi.
Sounds like you're on the road?
Yep. Yeah, I got a car phone, so.
Okay, very good. What's on your mind?
I was just wondering, I live in Post Falls and I drive to Kellogg every day, and I listen to you guys all the time. And I was just wondering if there was any way to clear up the poor reception on, not, especially 90 freeway between Post Falls and all the way through Coeur d'Alene. There's a lot of static with the radio, and even driving around Coeur d'Alene in that area, there's just not that the greatest reception with the KPVX station. So I was wondering if there's going to be any boost in the radio reception in that area.
Well, this is Kerry again. I wish I had better news for you. FM is very much line of sight, and our topography here tends to be hilly. So it depends really upon what's between you and the transmitter. There are ways around it, but they tend to be very expensive. We hope eventually there may be workarounds using cell towers. I'm afraid I don't have any short-term fixes. I get quite a few complaints from Coeur d'Alene itself where, very often a bigger antenna, a redirected antenna may help. But, you know, a lot of our listeners and, frankly, some of our major supporters live there, and they get really lousy reception. I wish I could just turn a dial and make that better. In some cases, we might technically be able to turn the dial, but we're legally forbidden to do so. So I really wish I had a better answer for you, sir.
I will say that it's really wonderful that you can now hear KSFC in Coeur d'Alene. I remember driving across right at state line and flipping it over to 100.3, and it's really wonderful to have a nice, clear signal for KSFC. And I know there are folks in Coeur d'Alene who have told me they appreciate having the access to that station. And so thank you for that feedback, and you know, let us know where you hear it well and where you don't hear it well.
Yeah. We have well, first we should say this is a call-in. We're spending this hour, so from now until 7 o'clock, we'll be taking your calls. We have an email that I'm about to paraphrase and put here, but we'll take emails, too, to kpbx@kpbx.org or simply calling our main number of 328-5729 to become part of this discussion, because we also, in a little bit, have a few more things to talk about programming changes. But this is from Larry and Kathleen. They emailed us. And paraphrasing quickly, they love to listen to the radio all weekend, especially on Saturday. And they said, one annoying interrupt to our routine this year was replacing From the Top with On Point at the noon hour. That's something we did, you know, about 8 months ago or so. And so that was the primary thing that this person was, these people were talking about. They did talk further a little bit about From the Top, which it replaced. For a while we still had the rights to From the Top, we ran it on Fridays, but now we don't run on From the Top on Fridays at all. They were wishing that From the Top could go back to the weekend, and instead of that 1 hour that weekend review of On Point at the noon hour on Saturday. And so that's the essence of their complaint. So I'll throw it to you, Doug, since it's now your problem.
Okay.
and Carrie, about the 1 hour in the middle of a bunch of art shows of serious sure. analysis at noon on Saturday.
Maybe this, Carrie, maybe I should start because this decision actually preceded Doug's arrival. This decision was largely a financial one. I mean, the show is very expensive. And we are in constant dialogue and in constant tug-of-war or pushing contest. I don't know which it is, but just to keep the prices down. And NPR programs, we are facing a 3.5% increase a year for the next 3 years. Well, no, it's about 3% for NPR. Overall, it's about 3.5%. In some cases, it's as high as 25%, as in the case of Northwest News Network. So it's a struggle, and we run pretty lean and mean here.
All right. To the phone?
Yeah, to the phone. This is Dave from Deer Park.
Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Oh, great. Hi. I called just asking about what planning is going on either locally or at the national level to attract a younger audience. I very much like and enjoy the programming that I receive, but in part that's part of the problem. I think maybe I need to hear some music I absolutely hate, but would be of interest to a younger audience, hip hop or something like that. I'm concerned about being part of a generational bubble that will at some point will phase out.
Yeah, it's a huge question, going the whole younger audience question, specifically about music. One quick irony is that if it weren't for all these other issues that we've outlined pretty completely, the Prairie Home Companion transition would have somewhat done that. It was going to some younger, hipper, more interesting music for many people, and certainly many of our musical staff members were really loving the new program for some of the directions. No, it wasn't hip-hop, but some of the directions that it was going. And the 2 hours of Zanigan's program that's going to come along in January, when she'll start at 9 o'clock on Sunday night and do her 2 hours, she's really doing a nice broad palette and bringing in a lot of interesting things. She's talking about a whole series where she's going to work with the people from the Bartlett, which is a club in Spokane that brings in music, and see if she can be profiling some of the music that comes in there. So there is some effort. I know that's only a little bit, but there's at least some acknowledgement of those directions. Even at the same time as the very joke you made, we know that it's like eating our vegetables to go to a genre of music we think we hate, and are we going to stick with it long enough to learn to like it so that us old people stay with it and learn at the same time we attract this younger audience? It's just full of riddles.
Yeah, it Carrie, again, it really is a question. And people are looking for a magic bullet, and the reality is there isn't one. Nationally, NPR and other stations are looking for the next big thing. I get lots of questions about Ask Me Another, which replaced Car Talk, and the opinions about Ask Me Another tend to be drawn along generational lines. So people my age or somewhere above 50, let's put it that way, tend not to care for the program that much. A younger audience tends to like it. So what to do with that information, I'm not so sure. It's also true, though, that people tend to grow into our audience. But nevertheless, especially for the entertainment programs, we really need to keep an eye on that. And I think we are watching the research. We can't afford a lot of research here, but we are watching the national research. NPR does a lot. MPR, Minnesota Public Radio, does a lot. And they have been very good about sharing what is working, what is not. And gradually, our over 35 audience, which is considerably younger than our overall audience of 45-plus, is improving considerably. Our audience is really up quite a lot here in Spokane, so probably as much as 35, even more percent.
And we're finding that people, have, especially younger people, have told us they enjoy KPBZ, which is our third station, or the radio remix station that features a lot of stories and that sort of thing. So so there's an effort. Jeff Fountain, our board chair, makes a hey.
I guess part of what I'm trying to represent the younger crowd in this room, I think. The difference with podcasts, I think, is coming in and certainly approaching a younger audience. You know, we're just kind of talking about the music side, but I have to say, I listen to a ton of the podcasts that are distributed through NPR, and I think that that's a very good access point. So, I mean, maybe it's worth also talking about podcasts and how they're made through NPR, a lot of them affiliates, and versus listening to them on the radio versus the podcast itself.
Sure. People may be interested to know that NPR is by far, by at least half, the largest producer of podcasts in the country, probably the world. They have the most distribution of them, and you can actually track and see what your audience is with the podcast. That's the beauty of it. SPR itself, we produce a good number of local ones, but NPR is huge in this arena, and yes, it is developing. And they look at it, too, as a gateway to gaining a public radio listenership, so whether it be online or over the air. So it's public radio everywhere is what they're saying.
Yeah. All right, Vern.
Yeah, we have one by email, and then I think we need to talk about the other changes. But this email from John and Mary suggesting that to replace the writer's almanac, have a brief synopsis and bio with possible short musical piece of the major composers and musicians on their birthday that particular day. And that's a great idea, and we might do that and then end with a poem or something like that. So that already has my brain buzzing in a couple of different directions. So thank you to John and Mary for that idea.
Okay, so we've been talking about a Prairie Home Companion as the main change that we're making in January. For KSFC listeners, there's one major change, and that is for those of you who listen to Native America Calling at 10 o'clock on the weekday mornings. We're moving that program to 9 p.m. on weekday evenings. And we're also keeping it at 10, keeping it at 10 a.m., but moving it to KPBZ at 90.3. The program feeds at 10 o'clock in the morning, and if you're a regular listener, you will often hear callers from Spokane call into the program. So we wanted to be able to preserve that. But the reason we're moving it is because I felt, and this preceded my time coming back to the radio station, is that when I listened to On Point in the morning, when I listened to The Takeaway in the morning, I just felt there was an energy drop. You're going from a very high-energy news program and On Point to an energy drop, and then you go back at 11 o'clock to another high-energy news program, and I felt we needed to match that energy level, and I just felt that, especially with the current host, it's more of a cultural program, and in terms of energy, it felt better in the evening after As It Happens and, again, before On Point. We're replacing that with several one-hour programs on the media. Those of you who listen to KSFC are familiar with it. It's a top-notch media criticism program from New York. There's a great investigative reporting program called Reveal. There's a couple of other programs. NPR's TED Talk Hour is going to be in there on Wednesdays. Innovation Hub, a program that talks about creativity and everything from health to the economy, will be on Thursdays. And then leading into Ira Flatow's Science Friday program is a program called Big Picture Science that talks about modern science research and uses storytelling. So we think it's a nice way to go from On Point as a bridge to the treatment. And so that's what we're doing.
Okay, we get to go back to the phones.
We don't have any.
Okay, well then they took a message. This was Don, who gave a program suggestion that Cowboy Corner was Red Steagall plays good Western music. So
we'll have to go look
for it.
We'll
go look for it and find out if it, you know, if it's something available to us. Because when we talk about going out into other genres and at first we think we're not going to do it, I have to admit that when Kevin Brown came to me with a bluegrass program, I was an old classical nerd. I wasn't too excited about it. And Kevin brought so much class and interest to that program that I got converted. And we have to think about that. Also, we got some other mention things here, none of which are phone calls, but we got several emails. Here's a person saying, I believe every weekday night has jazz or blues, so please do not air that genre of music on the weekend. I look forward to folk and wish it would air more often. So there's another vote
counter,
for that. And here's Olivet, who has sent in to us. My question, why am I not hearing a woman's voice on the panel tonight?
That is an absolutely great question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the truth is we should have. Our board currently, it's five women and two men, I think it is.
No,
close enough. Anyway, they happened to elect this particular white male to sit here tonight, so that's part of the reason. There was a possibility of actually Hella Jorgensen, who may have been her board chair at once, but she felt that it wasn't she just didn't have the time at this particular moment, but, you know, that could change. Nevertheless, that's right. We have most of the leadership in this particular radio station. They are women and have a lot of input into our programming decisions. Yeah, but yes, they should be represented here.
It's men's voices right now.
It is, and it's a point well taken. So.
Okay, so we've got a few minutes left. If you want to call in at 1-800-328-5729 or send in your comments to kpbx at kpbx.org.
And this was just a comment that a caller appreciates us bringing in local artists and musicians and would love more of that. And I'll hold commenting about that because we do have a caller on line one. Elena?
Hello.
Hi, you're on radio. Hola.
Hi. Hola. I totally appreciate and enjoy the Brazilian Hour. It's wonderful. I feel like I'm connected to the other side of the world because the music is like you're not going to hear on mainstream radio anywhere. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for carrying that.
Thank you.
Friday night at midnight.
Yeah, you know, and we've talked some about we air a couple of blues shows from 10 until 12 on Saturday night. And we started to talk about, I mean, we've had local programs for the blues program in the past. We don't have one right now, so we're carrying one program we get from the Public Radio Exchange, and then there's the Beale Street Caravan. And we started thinking, and I pushed a little and I said, well, what about the Brazilian Hour a little bit earlier than midnight?
Yeah.
And so we're still negotiating on that one because there's still the belief that Saturday night is a nice night for the blues and we're talking with a few folks about,
you know what, let's get some mix it up a bit, you know. Mm-hmm. Why do 1 hour of each instead of 2 hours of blues?
Well, it's
because
go ahead.
It's, some of the Brazilian is blues but it's so unique because Brazil is as big as the United States, or maybe even bigger, and they have as many regions of music and culture as does the United States, from so many influences from the world. And so the music is fabulous, and it's really evolved and changed. It's not just, you know, bossa nova, you know, it's just quite remarkable and unique. And I would never hear it unless I heard it on the wonderful KPBS public radio.
And so I appreciate that you're calling in and advocating for it because it's nice to know that there are people out there who do enjoy it, even at that late hour.
I've been listening since 1976.
Oh, you're dating yourself.
KPBX has a lot of little fairies, you know.
Yeah.
That, for the years, you know.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. All righty. Talk to you later. Okay, we got. Do we have another caller on the line, or we just have some
from
written comments?
Okay, well, Is there a call?
No, there isn't.
No? Okay. Well, we do have a question from TWSP. Why are we out as often as we are? And a very good question. Over the past year, actually, we've had a lot of trouble with the transmitter there. We've had problems with the power supplies. We've had problems with overheating. We've had any number of issues. During the snowstorms there, and especially during the fires, we had a lot of difficulty just getting an engineer up there. And in one case, he drove from Spokane to TWSP, got all the way back. Something else went out. He turned around, went all the way back to TWSP, got it running, came back. And at some point, we were actually down for quite some time simply because we couldn't get in. The road going into the transmitter there, I forget which particular hill it's on, but it's a very dicey road, and I can't risk anybody's life to get a signal as much as, well, I've only got one engineer there. We have it. In any case, we are looking at ways to actually harden the service there. Unfortunately, it's a very expensive fix in terms of how the signal itself is fed. We're looking – currently we take it over a satellite channel. And we're looking at moving that to a more robust system. But in order to do that, it's really a $50,000 project. So I am currently soliciting major gifts to help with that. And if I can find half of it, then I'll probably come to our listeners in the Mattel Valley to say, hey, a little help. We are working on it. We're very aware of it. And we're doing the best we can. So I hope you'll bear with us. This question says, how many listeners do we actually have? What is the actual number? Boy, there is a really good question. It's very difficult to ascertain who actually has a radio on. So what we do is we take a look at the Nielsen ratings, and it's kind of a survey-based service. It's a third-party research firm that looks at this stuff. And even then, we get spikes and anomalies in terms of the actual service. So we were looking at about 70,000. It may be as high as 100,000 at this point a week. I'm still trying to get a bead on that, but it's probably well over 70,000 a week. In terms of who is listening when, we really don't know, but we actually look at the day parts too and get those numbers. Then we take an average over, say, 3 to 5 years, and we think that's probably a better guess. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, comment from listener would like to hear news shows and music representing communities of color. That's always a great challenge for us. That's one of the reasons why Native America Calling is a program that we continue to carry, because we view as it a program that is important, considering we have 5 tribes that are around our immediate area that we are able to hear the viewpoints from them, from Indian people, from the issues that are important to them. And that's one reason why we've gone from, you know, 1 airing a day to essentially 2 airings a day on 2 different radio stations. So that's one thing we can do. If you have – yeah, go ahead.
Can you read the question again? I was shuffling a paper.
Oh, they would like to hear more news shows and music representing communities of color.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So if you have suggestions, call me. You can call me at the radio station during regular business hours at 1-800-328-5729. If you have, you know, suggestions of people we should be talking to, stories that we should be doing, you know, if you have, you know, music programs that you suggest, you know, we're certainly open to anything that you want to suggest. And I'm kind of a proactive guy. I like to see how we can make things happen. And so let us know.
One proactive thing that NPR, Public Radio International, and some others are doing is the Code Switch initiative, and we are hoping to get more programs out of them. So it's a very interesting team, and they're all very young, which I find also very encouraging, and they're doing really, really interesting work. So I'm hoping to hear more out of NPR in that regard as well.
Yeah. Okay. So we're about in our last 5 minutes. If you want to jump in real quick with a call to 1-800-328-5729, this is your opportunity to do it, or to go to kpbx at kpbx.org.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank Jeff Fountain. He hasn't chimed in quite a lot, but just a quick note about what the board of directors does. They're responsible for the oversight of actually our governance, me primarily, and I report to the board on a very regular basis. I get together with Jeff typically before a board meeting, but very often afterwards, just to let him know as my board chair and immediate boss what's going on at the station. And I try to send out a report to my board about once a week about what the issues are, what the questions are, and very often our listener comments play into that. So we do appreciate comments very much, and these do make a difference in our decision-making. So keep the comments coming. So thanks, Jeff.
And I'll come back to that in a minute. I think we have a question.
Okay, yeah. James.
Yes.
You're on the radio.
Oh, good, yeah. I just wanted to express my appreciation for that show that you play for 30 minutes. It's from Montana Public Radio, and they interview authors, and they often have written books about local topics. Can you refresh my memory on the name of the show?
It's called the go ahead.
The Right Question. Right,
yes, yes.
Spelled both ways.
Yeah, so it's a 30-minute show, which is perfect, I think. Mm. And, you know, I think there might be other shows like that available from Oregon Public Radio or maybe KUOW in Seattle.
Yeah, it's interesting about that because we had our bookshelf producer produced a couple of several amazing shows about the pie and whiskey phenomenon that has come from here. And when it was being taken to Seattle and Portland, we tried to get that show on the stations there. And the gentleman from KUOW wrote me back that, I'm sorry, we're not hip enough to have a literary show that we can put it on. So we in Spokane felt pretty smug over that one. But thank you. We'll keep looking for great shows like that one. We have a few winding up things let's do here.
So Chuck writes in, I listen to KSFC pretty much all my waking hours, 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. Switch to KPBX at midnight to listen to BBC, except he likes to listen to the Brazilian Hour. As to the World News Service, that's the overnight service on KSFC. You used to rotate what country's program came on first. Very sorry to hear one of my favorites, Philosophy Talk, is going away. That's one of the 9 o'clock programs that will be moving as a result of Native America Calling. Good to hear that you like that because, you know, we had a couple of forum-type programs, Philosophy Talk and others, and we can take care. We can reconsider finding places for those. Moth Radio is a good addition. And finally, sometimes some of our better programs begin with late-night scheduling until they get discovered. The Brazilian mm-hmm. Hour is one of those. So,
now should we go back to Jeff? Do we have a minute?
We've got about 30 seconds.
About 1 minute. All right, wonderful. Well, Carrie didn't give me the opportunity to also thank him. I absolutely, as the board chair, I want to say the communication is very open. It's very regular. We very much appreciate having Carrie's update every Friday afternoon. But I want to say a big thank you, Carrie and Brian, Kathy, Vern, now Doug, Linda. You guys are wonderful for us as well, and we thank you very much.
Your check is in the mail.
Thanks to the listeners for calling in. We'll do this again sometime soon. Appreciate your calls. Keep the comments coming.
Thank you very much for listening tonight. You're listening to KPBX Spokane, KIBX Bonners Ferry, KLGG Kellogg, KOMQ OMAC, KPBG Oroville, KTWP Twisp, KPBW Brewster, KPBZ Spokane, KSFC Spokane, and KXJO St. Mary's. Spokane Public Radio.